welcome to Fish Fry, everyone. I'm Amelia Dalton, your dutiful host of this here electronic engineering podcast, brought to you by eejournal.com. All right, Fish Fryers, let me see some hands. When you first heard the word Bitcoin, what did you think it was? Quick, don't think about it. Yeah, I thought it was some kind of video game tender, too. If I could just get 3 more power-ups and get past that scary dude on level 4, I'll have 15 bitcoins. Sweet. Okay, before we go any further, if you still think Bitcoin is some kind of video game widget, I suggest you press pause right now and click the link below the player called Racing for Computer Nerds, Bitcoin Mining for Fun and Profit. Or just head on over to EE Journal and search for Bitcoin. You'll find a very informative and fun article all about Bitcoin by EE Journal's very own editor-in-chief, Kevin Morris. Check it out right now and then come back to me. All right, you're back. Okay, great. Now, here's my issue with Bitcoin. Right now, it seems awfully hardware biased, don't you think? Why don't we let the software guys and gals in on this one? And while we're at it, why don't we welcome over a couple of our EE second cousins, those crazy video game developers? I know. Where the heck am I going with this one? Well, here it is. My next idea for a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign. It's called Bitcoin Blitzkrieg. One part Magic the Gathering, one part World of Warcraft, two parts high-powered, water-cooled ASICs. Maybe a little Bioshock thrown in for fun. I say we make a Bitcoin Memorpog. Doesn't that sound like fun? I mean, right now, it's just a race to see who can get the hash fastest. But where's the fun in that? Okay, yes, I know, there's lots of fun in that. But what if, in order to win the bitcoins you just won by guessing the right number, you next had to solve a series of intricate Bioshock puzzles? Or what if you had to battle with your best shadowed Sarah Angel against the person or group of people that came in second? That's a Magic the Gathering reference for you people who aren't in the Magic the Gathering persuasion. Anyway, what do you think? I mean, I'm not sure if it actually would work, but heck, it sure sounds like fun, doesn't it? And then it might even the playing field a bit, don't you think? All right, enough funny business. My guest this week is Bob Smith, Uniquify's Senior Vice President of Marketing and Business Development. Bob and I are talking about, you guessed it, conquering Bitcoin with high-performance ASIC technology.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Bob.
Thank you, Amelia. It's great to talk to you again. I think maybe this is the third time, for Fish Fry.
So first off, now you guys have a Bitcoin mining chip. Now that is a hot button issue right these days. Tell me more about it.
Well, I'm glad you said hot button. We have a customer that we designed a Bitcoin mining chip for, and I guess one of the things I want to emphasize about it is we talk a lot about our design management system inside the company called Perseus, which allows us to design chips very quickly, very consistently. This chip was designed in record time. It's a large chip. It's a very fast chip. It's designed in TSMC 28 HPM. In fact, we found out today it's one of the higher volume chips that they've been running into this new process. But what's cool about it is the entire chip was designed in 2 months. That is almost unheard of. What did we do this? Well, we have Perseus. We put our best design team on it. We also brought in and we allowed our customer to bring in their key, like 3 key engineers to work side by side with our guys. So instead of emails and phone calls, if there were issues, we could, boom, they were right there. So we started in July. It taped out at the end of August. The first engineering prototypes were back at the end of October. I mean, even TSMC was kind of blown away by this. This is a hashing chip. So the only thing it does in life is it performs this hashing function. They call the SHA-256. It's used for Bitcoin mining. On their substrate that they build in the little board and the product that they sell, there are 4 of these die. They perform about 700 gigahashes per second. That's 700, let's see, that would be billion hashing operations. It's pretty phenomenal. Now, you said hot button. One of the challenges in a design like this is power. And this substrate, the first generation, consumes, are you ready for this? 400 watts. Can you imagine? The substrate's less than 2 inches square. And because of that, it requires water cooling. So people talk about computers consuming power. Well, let me tell you, they do. And this thing is running so fast that it would literally melt without the water cooling. Probably, though, the most interesting thing for us as a SoC engineering company is that it was just everybody put their heads down. We worked really hard. The Bitcoin market is changing every day. So the rush to get the chips out, I mean, there was just incredible pressure, but there's also really good teamwork between the two teams.
So I know another segment of Uniqify is your DDR IP. Bob, where do you think DDR IP is headed for 2014?
Sure, yeah. DDR is also a market that's changing pretty rapidly. We've seen a couple of really interesting trends. One is LPDDR, which is the low-power version, is really coming into its own. Of course, it's been very popular for mobile applications because of low power. We're seeing a couple of trends. One is LPDDR3, which is the latest standard. We're seeing the bigger companies skip it entirely and go to LPDDR4. In fact, we're in an engagement with a partner right now where we're helping develop LPDDR4. Interestingly enough, the formal spec from JEDEC, the organization, isn't even fully ratified yet. But if you're a bigger company, you say, well, I don't know, I'll just move forward with that. The other thing that we're seeing is more and more customers moving to DDR4. DDR3 is the sweet spot now for regular DDR RAM, but DDR4 is really starting to take off with a lot of new design wins, even for customers where they don't need the speed. And the reason is, if their product has a long life cycle, they're afraid that 4 or 5 years down the road, the DDR3 memory won't, you know, they won't be making much of it and it'll be too expensive. So we're seeing some applications where it's like, well, that's not very fast, but they want DDR4 for that reason. One last thing, and that is, we also are beginning to think that the LPDDR4 and maybe after that LPDDR5 may almost wholesale replace the regular DDR, and the reason for that is 40% power savings and almost the same speed, and so everybody's worried about power. So we may see more of a shift to the LPDDR series.
Very cool. Now, Bob, I heard that you have a winery, and it's called Jazz Cellars. Oh, do tell me more about this.
I'd be happy to. Yes, I do. My neighbor and I started making wine as a hobby in 2004, 2005, and just literally, just like a barrel. And the wine turned out to be phenomenal, and we're both wine lovers, and we both got the bug. So 2005, we started applying for our license, and indeed, the name of the winery is Jazz Cellars. It's in San Francisco, California. We have a tasting room there. We are a very small producer. We're boutique, so less than 1,000 cases a year. But it's pretty amazing. We've gone from one case that we had to sell in 2007, from that first barrel up to where we are now, a little under 1,000. We make a couple of Rhone Whites. We make Pinot. We make Syrah. We make Zinfandel. It's all single vineyard, so we don't do a lot of blending. It's all single vineyard, single varietal. I think last count we've won over 80 awards. And we're in a lot of restaurants around, the higher-end restaurants around the peninsula here. We have a wine club. We do a lot of events, so it's a crazy life. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm going to sign up for your wine club, Bob. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thanks, Amelia. It was great talking to you about Uniqify, and I'm glad I got to say a little bit about my winery, too. Thanks so much.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Folks, most of you may not know that I, Amelia Dalton, have some mad table tennis skills. It's true. I do prefer the Wii. I know, I can hear you ping pong purists out there scoffing, but whatever. Folks, Wii or no Wii, our days as the dominating ping pong masters of the world may have just ended for good. No, I'm not talking about the Chinese, but seriously, have you seen some of their matches? Phew. No, I'm talking about robots. Dang it. Please don't get me wrong. I love some robots just like the next engineer, but shoot, isn't there anything sacred anymore? And it's all German robotics manufacturer KUKA's fault. You see, KUKA is putting up one of their best robots against one of the best table tennis players in the world, Timo Boll. Yeah, he's a former number one. Timo is battling it out with a KUKA KR Agilis. Apparently, Agilis is known for his fast speeds and high levels of precision. Oh, but we'll see about that, won't we, Agilis? The bout is to take place on March 11th in Shanghai. You'll see me courtside bringing you up-to-the-minute coverage of the wait, this just in. Oh, I see. I didn't know that. Okay, I guess I won't be going to Shanghai after all. Well, okay then. If you want to see a teaser video about this epic table tennis match, check out the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, and I will continue to work on that Shanghai trip request. And now it's your EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, go there now. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and retweet them too. They're great tweets. Then head on over and join our circle on Google+. We also have a YouTube channel full of all kinds of techie awesomeness, including those Chalk Top webcasts that I host. That's right. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 28th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.